Today is the 30th of July 2019. I'm interviewing James Young of Bayview. James is still active in the motor trade. He's been working since he was 15, more than 65 years. So he's going to tell us the life and times of his family.
Well, I was born in China, in the south of China, in a place next to Canton. And we have a small market garden. My father was a rice grower, and we are really just common people, more or less, type of thing. I went to school there, started school. Then one day, the air was full of planes, and of course, welcome to Second World War. It's all right. Then suddenly, they start dropping bombs, and then, of course, the armies come from the south, right up north, and came down to south and invaded China. So therefore, we had to leave our good house, good land, and what we're used to. And I was only a child, about 6 years old. But of course, we lost Mum also in the war. So therefore, it was only myself and my father. And therefore, to escape the actual cruelty and the war and all that, we had to make our way to Hong Kong. Why we make our way to Hong Kong is the British was not at war with Japan and was a free country, more or less. But then, of course, from where our village is, Hong Kong, is about 130 kilometers. And during the war years, nothing works. No electricity, no water, no transport, because the actual roads are all bomb and crater and all that. Nothing works. So therefore, we had to walk all the way from our village to Hong Kong. So the thing that started is, the Japanese invaded our house and took all the food that we had. No, I wouldn't say all the food we had, most of the food we had, and that's rice. And so my father decided that he heat up a wok and put the rice in there and heat it and take all the moisture until it's brown colour, put it in a sugar sack, tie a knot, and that is your lunch, breakfast and everything. So therefore, when we started on our journey, we had a few people joining us as well. We walk and then find shelter, what we can on the way, under a tree or under an old house or one house and all that. And for food, and that's the biggest problem, we find a bit of water, half fill a bowl, and half filled with rice, and that is all you get, type of thing. Yeah. I caught malaria on the way and just about really died, so my father tells me. But I recover, and after about 2.5 weeks, we did reach Hong Kong. And of course, it's free, freedom, more or less, type of thing. Here you can get food, and we had a few relations there. We found shelter. And then in those days, the actual free world, like New Zealand, Australia, Canada, and the USA, they opened their arms to refugees on the count that once the war is over, you have to go back to your own country. Well, that was quite acceptable because we didn't want to leave in the first place, type of thing. But we are very grateful for that. And of course, we picked New Zealand because we've got one or two relations here in New Zealand. So we managed to get passage with the help from New Zealand people on an old steamer. It's sort of a milk run type of steamer, and it is a freighter. And of course, you don't get a room, air conditioned room with a window facing the sea and all that type of thing there. But we were amongst the freight, and that's where we sleep. But one thing that really God said is we're getting fed. So after a long trip, calling the island, we managed to reach Sydney. We stayed there for a few days and then managed to get another boat and reach Wellington. So from Wellington, we came to Napier, and with the help of a few Chinese people, we established, my father managed to borrow a bit of money and started a market garden with the help of local people.
Where was the market garden?
The market garden is now Young Motors. Yeah, so therefore it's a second generation. It's only 4 acres, but that's all we had, and that's all the money we had. But then, of course, everybody seemed to work together. They were kind. The government was really good. And we managed to borrow money to get the seeds from Simmons and Co. and the fertilizer. And we borrowed a bit of money from a relation to buy an old horse. and everything was more or less second hand, and everything was done. So we didn't even have a tractor, but everything was hand done. And even at my tender age, I was only about 7 or 8, I was out there hoeing, bush hoeing lettuce or anything like that, you know. So therefore, my growing up days, I didn't enjoy going playing football or anything like that. I had to work. So that was the actual sacrifice for being a refugee. But we had to survive. And we live in the old house, so it was pretty, thinking about it now, it was pretty rough, but then what else can we do? But we were glad to survive.
Who were some of the other Chinese people that helped you?
There was Albert Young, there was the New Keys. They're not here, none of them are here. They all came from the same time, during the Second World War.
Yes,
we
yes.
were refugees, but I'm glad we all survived now. And of course our children are small as taken over. We tell our children that, and of course we try and give our children the best we can offer them. So we were hard workers, we had to work, but now we are very happy that we got a second chance.
Well, Jim, when your parents grew the vegetables, did they sell them at the gate?
No, we couldn't afford a truck, or none of us can drive. My father can't speak English or anything like that. And of course, every Wednesday and Sunday, there's a firm called Marnie and Co. Red trucks. Yeah, they come and pick up the market on every Wednesday, and we have to work like hell to get, you know, with just a wheelbarrow and all that time. And also on Sunday for the Monday market. It's a hard life, but, well, we know nothing else but work and all that type of thing. Well, we had to work. We were taught to work, more or less. So I always tell my children that, you know why your father can't swim?
No.
Because they had to work. They're lucky to take you to swimming lessons and all that type of thing. No, they're all hard workers, and I'm proud that they have made, well, make a success of their working
life. So which school did you go to?
First of all, I attended at the Hastings Street School. It's now a restaurant there. I have very pleasant memories there. And I am very grateful to my first teacher. Her name was Miss Butcher in those days. I'm not quite sure where she is now, but she got married. Mrs. Clark, I think she retired at Taradale. So that's quite a long time ago.
Sure.
She taught me, I am very grateful, taught me to speak and encouraged me to learn English and all that.
Yes.
And then another schoolmaster that I'm very grateful to, that's Mr. Fieldhouse. And he was the headmaster of the Hastings Street School. Those two people really taught me English.
Yes.
Yeah. To this day, I am grateful.
Yes.
And then, of course, I went to intermediate school and then high school.
Which high school did you go to?
Napier Boys High School. It's a good school. Both of my boys went to Napier Boys High School. In fact, my first son, he was a Ducks of the Boys High School. As I said, he's a scholar here. He's the one that went to Oxford. But it just shows you, now, the grandfather can't speak a word of English, and now he's Oxford. It just shows you one generation, now young mothers, and now a big garage, and I'll tell you there about it. And before, it just might go. After I finished my apprenticeship, I went back to China, to Hong Kong, and I went and studied there. Because we didn't get the education, the Chinese, I was losing my Chinese, all this type of thing. And of course, after the war, my father, he went back to China. It's very hard for him because he's middle age and also cannot speak a word of English. He missed his friends, religion, and all that. He was lonely. So he elected to go back to China, and I stayed. And I started my working life with Suit Green Motors, more or less. That's the last time I saw my father, because after I finished my apprenticeship, I went back to Hong Kong to study as well. But in those days, there was a Cold War, there was a bamboo curtain. I wasn't allowed in, and he wasn't allowed out. And I never saw my father again. Encourage people to travel, because you know what each race consists of, and also find your knowledge. Hong Kong is only the size of including the new territories, Hong Kong and Kowloon, is only 195 square miles, which is 1.5 size of Lake Taupo. They've got 6 million.
So you started your apprenticeship with Stuart Greer Motors.
I'm very grateful for Bill Fleming. He was a service manager. I couldn't get anywhere with the Ford people. I never had a Chinese boy before. And of course, they look at me, that's this Ford place. They were the number one in Napier in size. Then I went to J.E. Peach. They were the top people, the deals with Chrysler and all that, but they didn't want me. But Stuart Greer, they deal with the Morris, Packard, what else, Dodge and all that. So the magister said to me, yes, we are looking for apprentice, but we will give you 3 months trial. If you're any good, yes, we will sign you on as apprentice. If you're no good, you're out.
Yes, sir.
And that's it, more or less.
Yes.
So my full power of transport was a push bike. Couldn't afford anything else. After I started work, after 18 months or 2 years, I managed to save enough money to buy a third-hand AJS motorbike. That was the one that really took me around, because I had to go to night school and all that.
Sure.
And also after work, I used to come back and help my father in the Makakan. So it's a busy life for me, but we have managed to survive, because we had to survive, because if we don't survive, you go down. You know, you can't get help or anything like that. But no, I would so certainly encourage the young people, if you want to be a success, there's only one answer, hard work.
And so you carried on with Stuart Greer's until you finished your apprenticeship?
Yes, I got my A grade. That takes 7 years.
Yes.
After 7 years, I went back to Hong Kong. Went back to school, had a relation note. He taught me for 2 hours a day. And in return, I didn't have much money. I helped him to be a salesman. He's a salesman for a big company and selling to all these warehouses and selling all the shops there. But he can't speak much English. That's where I help him. When you deal with an English firm, I was a salesman for him. But when you deal with a Chinese firm, where he can do them. So I learn a bit of salesmanship from him. And also he's my teacher more this time. So I still pay him a bit for teaching and all that. And he's the one that taught me to speak proper. The ethics of Chinese and all that type of thing. A bit of history. And it's a thing that really, you pick the best between English and Chinese. What's his best, you know, face value and all that type of thing.
And did you work with cars and motors in China?
No, I didn't actually. I didn't have much time because I really couldn't afford to stay too long in China.
Sure.
Because when I had to leave Hong Kong, I was absolutely broke, no money at all. I couldn't stay longer. So I went back to New Zealand and went back to Dalfu. You know, I'm back here. Oh, look, come back and work for us. So I was in the tune-up department after Canada. But it's interesting, actually, how you get onto these people. I even tell my sons, you know, do your best for them. Always hard work. Always do the extra piece to get on in life, you know. So that's my working life and as a student, more or less, time.
Yes.
When I started Young Motors, my working days, 7 days a week and 12 hours a day, more or less. I started Young Motors with... All I had was £2,800. Well, you can't build a garage at £2,800.
No.
I went to the bank manager. I got out of his office quicker than went in because he said, we don't lend money to people like you with no background. And you're young, you're only early 20s. You don't own any land? No. What have you got? I said, a motorbike. How much is that worth? £150. What else you got? A set of tools. £150, that's just £300, yeah. Yes, you look up there, yes, you have got £280, and you want to borrow £2,000. We don't need money to people like you. That's one bank. The name's already changed now. It used to be Bank of New South Wales.
Yes.
Now it's Westpac. Westpac bought out in Australian bank. I tell the bank manager to this, and I get what I want now. So that's the difference, yeah. So Kyoto is more than £280. But then, of course, you know what? I am really, really happy. The fact that when I tell the Chinese people around here, there used to be 22 Chinese Makakana in Bayview alone. And a lot of them cannot speak English this time. And when their vehicle got something wrong, all they can do is take their garage, won't go more this time.
Yes.
And I used to translate for them. In the days of overtook horses, to buy small tractors, only 18 horsepower with a Vanguard engine and all that. So that was really good for them, you know, all that. So I used to sort of, even part-time after work, I used to go and help them pick them up and fix them, all this type of thing. But then, of course, when you get 22 of them, I can't keep up. So they said, why don't you open a garage? And that's the start of the idea. I used to come back after work and work on the vehicles at night time. I'm doing more work than So that's it. And when I told them that I don't have any money because the bank's not supporting me, you know what? They lend me the money. Yeah. They pitch in and lend me the money.
And your first garage wasn't that big, was it?
No, it was a small garage. That's all I can afford. Now it's about 10 times the time.
So you carried on working with your local people.
It's only a one-man band, you know. Yes. I had to do everything, 7 days a week. You had to pay off the people. I always remember there's an old lady, I call her grandma, and she's a very kind lady, you know. She's a real grandma. And she says to me, "Jim, you're having trouble raising money to start your garage." I said, "Yes, grandma." You know, she lent me some money. I said, no. Yes. But boy, I did take the money and she insisted, but I made sure she was the first one I would pay.
Sure.
6 months I paid everything back. And she won't take any presents or anything like that. So that's how the Chinese gave me face. And I really look forward to that, yeah.
You had tractors originally, didn't you?
Well, it's only a free trade. We couldn't afford to have a franchise.
No, not like big trucks
and everything. We were just sort of a service station. That service station there was designed for two mechanics and one people serving in the pumps and one also the lube bay. In those days, it's just 500 miles for a grease and 1,000 miles for grease and oil change. Mm. That was good business in those days. And Mobil came along and I managed to get a petrol license. Mobil came along and I said, "Look, I've got no money." So they lent me the money. They put in a compressor and also a hoist to lift the vehicle up. Sure. And they gave me 2 years to pay it off, and I paid it off. Boy, it was really hard going there. 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I think that I missed some of the thing there. Some of my friends and all that, the same age group and everything like that. And Saturday, they all go out to dance with the girls and everything. Here's me slaving away in the garage, putting out a head, working on a truck or a tractor. Yeah, yeah. I missed all that time.
But you met Lillian.
I met Lillian in my second time. I had a bit of a health problem. My doctor said to me, "You know, you're working long hours and all that, has stomach ulcer and all that type of thing. Take a holiday." I said, can't afford it. "No, take a holiday." So therefore, I went back to Hong Kong and took a couple of weeks off without that. But when I met Lillian in a Christmas party, we sort of asked her, my Chinese was getting much better.
Yes.
You know, like to show me a bit of Hong Kong and all that. So she agreed and sort of things that sort of start the whole thing then, more or less. But my wife comes from a very old fashioned family, and that's what I want, more or less, type of thing, yeah. So therefore, when I had to come back and run out of money again, I keep writing to her, and then one day I sent her a ticket, a return ticket, it's an air ticket, no strings attached, come for a holiday to New Zealand, all expenses paid. Well, she never went back. Well, that's how it is, you know, this type of thing.
You have two sons?
Two sons, yeah. Two sons and one daughter.
Your daughter is in New Zealand?
Or? Well, unfortunately, all my three children are in Australia. Look, Ashley, well, he's been all over the world. He's still single, 52. And he's got a really good job offered in Australia, none in New Zealand, that's okay. My daughter, she's a microbiologist. She's married to a very able, he's law and commerce. He used to work for the big Deutsche Bank of Germany as a legal advisor. You know, big position. Oh yes, a very high position. Made a lot of money there. And now he does the same in Australia. He does the investment and all that type of thing for people.
Yes.
That's his own company. And of course the son now has been working in Denmark for 10 years as a research scientist, PhD in biochemistry and all that. Yeah. He's the one that helped when they're doing his PhD in New Zealand. They helped to cure the green lip muscle problem 10 years ago. They were having trouble with the green algae and all that. And he was in the team that researched it more or less type of thing. Was doing his PhD on that. And he's the one that sends a young boy, he has to do all the running around and all that type of thing. He's the one that has to take a box of rats down to these people down there. And he said, "Well, before you harvest it, take a sample from bed and get the contents of the muscle, stomach, and inject it to one or two rats. And if it dies, don't touch it. Call me. But if it's still alive after that, then yeah, you can harvest it all that." And that's how they researched. They found that was the problem. It's the fertilizer that the actual farmers were using that cured. So they got the fertilizer engineers and all that, and they changed the actual contents of the thing, and they still get the same effect by using different fertilizer.
Sure.
So that's how they cured.
Yes. Our children are international children, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Well, my grandson, he's only 7 years of age. He speaks 4 languages.
What's his name?
Nathaniel. His mother is Polish, and she's daughter of a professor. That's where they met, because she was doing her PhD in Denmark, and my son was more or less helping her, you know. So we're two young people away from her. And then her father is Swedish professor. And then she's a sort of a, well, of course, grew up as a teenager in Poland. The father and mother divorced, and the father went to Sweden as a teacher, I think. So she did her Swedish there, and then she won a scholarship to Denmark, and that's when she went to Denmark, to Clifton. So she speaks 4 languages. And then, of course, last Christmas, Nathaniel, he's only just turned 7, he comes to me, he calls me Grandpa. Grandpa, yes, Nathaniel. He starts talking to me in Danish. I said, "Tell you, speak to me English." "Oh, you dumb dumb." So he starts talking to me in English then. So it's just great, you know. A boy is seven can speak 4 languages.
And so coming back, you got some land and you became a grape grower and became involved in the grape industry.
That's right, yeah.
At what stage did that happen?
Well, I've always been interested in growing. And of course, machinery is another thing that I had to do to fix it, all that. And of course, I'm a man of the land, more or less. So every penny that I had, I was investing in land, like buying this place, more or less. Like. Yeah. And also on Franklin Road and all that. So I invested in land. And then, of course, one day Tom McDonald came. I know him. I call him Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom was like, "Jim, would you like to grow some grapes?" "Yes. What do you want me to do? I'm not a grower, I'm a market gardener." No, we do a market gardening. Well, anyway, you know. So he said, "No, you're growing grapes." No, all right. Yes, I've got 12 acres that I can go straight away. All right, you do it. And so he said, "You will give you the cuttings, you just follow the so-and-so and you take the cuttings and I'll show you how to plant it and all that type of thing." So that's how we first started. Then I got bigger and bigger and we ended up with 65 acres. No, we started off, you know. And he said to me, "How long you want it for? Or what do you think? You want a contract?" "Oh, well, I'm supposed to give you a contract." He's when you sold to McWilliams. "How long you want it for?" "Okay, 15 years. Okay." You know, that sort of shake out is nothing like what it is now. I miss those good days. No, it's a different world to what...
So what did you grow here?
At the present time, I grow Chardonnay for the mission. And over Franklin Road, I grow Sauvignon Blanc. So it's a different type of...
They made some good wine?
They did, yes. No, we all had to start from the beginning and learn from
everything. Yes, but just trying to remember the winemaker.
The winemaker, after Tom, there was Bob Napsey.
He was a real gentleman,
wasn't he? He was a gentleman, yeah. Yes, I'm afraid he died a few years ago. We were the beginners those days. I used to harvest my grapes. I had my own harvester there and drive the truck, my Ford 7-tonner, up to the ramp and all that, tip it in and all that.
This was at Thames Street, was it?
Yes. I always saw it, how it's built and everything like that, and the weighbridge and that. We work as a sort of family, different world now.
And the grape growers are driving some of the harvesters.
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, my brother, Jim, he also grew for Tom.
Oh, yeah. Well, he contributed a lot of good things to your brother, yeah.
So, at some stage, you got the Fiat agency, didn't you?
Yes, we had the Fiat agency. We had the Fiat cars, truck, and tractor franchise. And then we had the Nissan. But, yeah, that's how we first started. But now we're more concentrated on trucks now.
Yes.
Yeah, like Mercedes-Benz and everything like that.
And aren't they big?
They're big, all right. They're very expensive. In those days, I only had half a dozen people working. Now we've got 32.
Mechanics?
18 of them is mechanics.
Diesel mechanics, I suppose. They're all diesels, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, 18 mechanics. But then, of course, we had the petrol part of it. Then we had the car side, servicing cars. We haven't got a franchise, but servicing cars. We had the chainsaw and mower, because we look after all the farmers and all that type of thing there. Then we had the truck side. We had 5. What's happened to the other chainsaw? There's a petrol parts, parts department. So it's getting bigger. It's getting a bit too big, actually, for my liking. But then, of course, you're caught in a wave that you have to go. The garage that I started, I think I've got about 12 or 13 people. Now I've got 33. But then it was quite a learning curve, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. But as I said, you know, you learn and you work hard and all that type of thing there.
So you became the chairman of the Grape Growers Association, or president?
Yeah. Van Ash is the guy that is the first president. I took over from him. He's a much older man than I am.
Yes.
And he fell sick. He was only been president for about half a year. In those days, we haven't written down what the law was, and I got the job of doing it. I stayed there for 3 years until I passed on to Malcolm Whiffen. I started the garage in 1975, slowly on my own, one man band.
Oh, you were only on your own then?
I started on my own. I didn't have any money to employ anybody. And I can't even afford a cash register. And I managed to get a 12-pound, they used to sell cherries in the fruit shop. And it's a very small sort of a wooden box. And I had to divide it into different lots. Because in those days, you got penny, fruitness. Yeah. And of course, £5 was my limit on the actual cash. And that's how I started. Yes. The first day there. One man band. I just sell petrol, grease cars, do the repair work at night time.
And did Lily help you at all?
No, she never came until a long after that.
It's interesting to see how this lovely little village has grown. And it's changed.
Well, you wouldn't think that the land there, the 4 or 5 acres there, was push hoeing and then, you know, growing cabbage, and now it's under concrete. Yeah, 6 inch reinforced concrete and a big building and all that type of thing. See how time changed. And of course, being a worker, now I sort of have to tell people what to do and all that type of thing. So it's a different type of life. I'm learning every day more this time. Yeah.
Some of the new motors must be a bit of a puzzle to you, though.
Yes, actually, we have 3 or 4 apprentices now, and it's a different world to what I am. We take apprentices that have had at least 3 to 4 years secondary school. This is advice to our future apprentices. They must be computer literate, because everything's done by computer now.
Yes.
And they must be able to express their writing in words, because like job sheets and all that
stuff.
That's
right.
So it's not just doing the actual practical work, they have to do the writing side as well.
Yes.
I never had the opportunity to attend 3 years high school. I only did about 6 months. So I had to work, because I had to live somehow.
That's
my father's gone back to China. Yes. Yeah, Bayview has certainly grown. I used to shoot rabbits around here, but now, you can't do that now.
So how much land have you got around here?
This land here is only 5 acres.
Yes.
And then I have another 12 acres in Franken Road.
Yes.
And then I used to own all the other one next door. And
they're
all consolidated. Yeah. See, my 2 sons, they want their own life. And, I give them a chance. Now, you do what you want to do. Yes. Don't let me lead you. So
well,
one day they probably might come back and take over from me.
Well, with their education, they'll never look back, because, you know, they will just make money that you could only dream about.
Well, they are doing quite well.
Yes.
I mean, one of these days, probably my younger son will be a professor, you know.
Yeah.
Then having a grandson that speaks 4 languages, even if 7.
So, now, what haven't you told me?
No, I think I want to express that I'm a humble man, yeah. Because I come from a humble family, and I take everybody as equal. I learned that. I always say to the staff, young motors, even to a young apprentice, if you want to see me, the door is always open, every part of it.
You know, talking about being humble, it's one of the most precious things that we have.
That's quite true. Yeah. No, that's why I always teach my children that as well. Yeah. And I do realise what I'm talking about.
Okay, so now you're here on home duties, and most of the time you said looking after Lily.
I spent half my time. I sort of pass some of my responsibility to the other managers and all that, But Lily is all I got in life, and my children, I have a photo of my family in my office there. And, well, I always tell the people I meet, German people from Mercedes-Benz, or Italian people. I deal with Fiat, deal with Fiat. And also Japanese and all that. They chased me out of my land and everything like that. But that's a long time ago. And I said, that is my family there, and that's my life. Yeah. There's more to come if you want.
What is that?
Oh, it's like how you've been, when we first come to this country, how we've been treated and all that.
Yes, well, let's talk about that.
Well, when I first come to this country here, I was really frightened, you know. I'm only 7 years old, probably, and been frail and different. And also the fact that I had to go to school, and I couldn't speak a word of English.
Mm.
So my father cannot help me with my English.
Well,
he's worse than me, more or less.
Yes.
So when I first started Hastings Street School, I don't know what they're talking about. So I used to hide in the corner more or less, and people, come on, play with it, and that, and I just smile and ran away more or less type of thing. But that's how I first started more or less type of thing. But gradually, my teacher slowly taught me, you know, say yes, no, and all that type of thing. And that's how I first started. And as I said, the boys, they give you cheek and everything like that, and just about fight every second of the week, more or less type of thing there. But then, of course, I've been there about a year or so, my English started to increase, getting better and better, and then we have better time. There's no more fighting, no more cheek. So I'm a part of them, more or less type of thing. I was always trying to learn something all the time. You have to survive. Survive the cheek and all that type of thing. But then when we got to intermediate, I can talk fluently with them all the time. Mm. They were good mates now. Yeah. And one of my mates that I used to go to school with, he was working for me more or less. You know, we used to sit together. So that's how I first started. Yeah. My first apprentice, Young Motors, he still works for me. He's retired. I'm 10 years older than him. He's 78. And he looks after this vineyard for me now. Lawrence Cater. And his son is helping. I don't have time to do physical work in the vineyard, so I have to rely on them. So it's great how your old staff have come back and look after you. Yes. That's right. Yes. So that's one of the things that I really learned in life here. Yeah.
Now, also you spent quite a lot of time in the Rotary Club.
Yes.
You would have been president?
No, actually I couldn't be president because I had to look after Lillian. I couldn't spend the time, but I do a lot of work for the Rotary. Citrus Drive and everything like that.
Yes.
And I used to be the truckie, as I said, because the only one had a big truck and all that. You used to wreck houses and all that type of thing, and I used to take all the rubbish away. I'd done my time with the Rotary Club,
So what other things haven't you told me?
Oh, well, my life has been... I just about had a go at everything, all this type of thing.
But you've done it successfully, though.
Well, yeah, financially, yeah, successfully, yeah. Because I had to think, because I'm not a success, I have no help, you see. I haven't got any family.
You started from nothing.
I started from nothing.
Yeah.
£280. So the life is yours. If you make it, good on you. If you don't make it, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. So that's how it is, you know.
Yes.
I don't have a financial father that's got plenty of money to help me. Like that. I had nobody. And when I borrowed money, I was repaid back. With respect, and no, I've been honest about it.
But when you think about the support you got from your own Chinese community.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was really something I learned in life, yeah.
Mm.
They all come and say, oh, we'll help you. But can also see the benefits of me, because, you know, I can speak the language, I can help them. I'm what you call Johnny on the spot. I can fix their vehicle on a Saturday night.
Mm.
I work any time, keep them going, yeah. So, you know, when you have a crop that's ready to harvest, you've got to harvest it them straight away.
Oh.
Otherwise, if you leave it a week, it's all gone. Yeah. So without machinery, that's part of it. It's hard work and service. So I always tell the apprentice that, you know, there's no shortcut. Because you've got to study hard, struggle hard, and learn hard. Well, that's I said, if you want any help, my door was always open, you know. I say that to a service manager, and I said that to your first year apprentice. No, that's how it is. You have to be equal.
Your interest in your garage and the community has served you well with your health as well.
Yes, we look after the community. We sort of help farmers when the sports day, and we donate to 22 organisations at our firm. One of them I went, and we have a few customers from Te Puhui. And they have a school there. There's not that many people there. And of course, I know all their parents. I worked in there one day, and these kids were drinking water from a tank, you know, from roof water. I said, that's not good enough. So I approached the teacher, the headmaster, and said, you know, could I help? You know, could I donate a drinking fountain to your school and all that type of thing, and I'll keep it going? He said, oh, yeah, we would love to. And that's 8 years ago. And we still, and every month I pay the bill. And of course, they're getting good drinking water, the
Absolutely.
Kids. Yeah. So that's one part of it.
It's such a simple thing, isn't it?
It's such simple. You know, their father and mother sort of patronised me. Why don't I give something back to them? You know, to the children, second generation.
Yeah.
They are my friends, more or less. That's what it is, yeah. So you've got to give back while you take some time in business.
So what else can you remember?
Well, I did my part with Fiat people. I was the chairman of the actual Fiat group for New Zealand, and went to Italy. They had a world conference there, and everybody looked at me.
a Chinaman leading the New Zealand delegation. I said, well, no, I'm a New Zealander. Yeah, I think like you. Yeah, but they were rather intrigued by me. So it's been interesting, but it's all through hard work.
Okay, well, we've probably got a good amount about your family.
Oh, I see, because my son sort of rang up. Dad, I've got some, what's that for? Something about you. Oh, so what do you do that for? Oh, well, some of the people know about you. I said, my good friends know about me.
As I said, I'm a humble man.
But yeah. You can be humble. This is a family story. So, Jim, thank you very, very much for letting me interview you and for the contribution you've made to the motor industry, to your community and your family, because you must be very proud of all of it.
Well, it's my part of life. Everything you do in life for a man, you reap the harvest if you work hard enough. You know, Rotary has been good to me, and you know, quite a lot of people in Rotary, we all respect one another, you know, regardless of what position we're in, whether you're a worker or managing director and all that type of thing. Then we work together, have a meal together. No, it's friendship makes life.
All right, well, thank you, Jim. It makes a very interesting story.